and that is to make us better fighters. Fewer carbon emissions are a byproduct. So how have...
This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Art Omai in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk. Art Omai Sculpture and Architecture Park presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Now accepting advance registrations for visits on weekends and select holidays. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Tune in to the daily Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from the River Newsroom from Lissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley website. You can go to therivernewsroom.com and theotherhudsonvalley.com websites for more information. Tune in to the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report every night at midnight at WGXC, also at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. for all the latest reports about COVID-19 regulations, new laws.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity radio program, broadcasting live from the faulty Tesla disposal facility, also known as the Catskill Makers Syndicate, located next to the Juice Branch at 65 West Bridge Street in the heart of Catskill. We are here, live, in charge, and we have an almost full house tonight, but don't tell the governor that. Ben, how you doing? To my left?
Pretty good, yourself?
Not bad. Cody, how are you?
We're running an experiment. Thank you, Albert. We're going to see how many people we can fit into this room. Ready? Here we go.
Hey, guys!
Oh, you too?
Awesome!
Shrek-a-boo, how you doing?
Okay.
We have another mystery guest, Chris, who's here once in a while. How you doing? All right.
Mysterious.
That's his voice. I hope you heard it. Brian.
Hey, yow!
Yeah, he's here.
Back from the dead. He's not quite himself.
Our forgotten geek, the historian, is also here.
Yo.
That would be Corey, and we have Professor Von Mothersbaugh.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy to yourself. And it is a fresh April, it is a fresh new year, and it is now springtime. So you all have heard me complain about the lack of snow on the weather so far, I'm sure. So now we have to deal with ticks. I hope everybody out there is aware that ticks are a big problem in this area, and look up on the video on YouTube how to remove them. There are certain ways. Use the right type of tweezers. You want pointy tweezers. You don't want flat-edged tweezers.
Or you can use those little beard-trimming scissors. Those work, too. I use that to get this one out as I gross out everybody in the room.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Cody's little displaying guy. A nice little red lump on his leg that we hope was a tick.
Well, I'm not sure what else it would be.
Well, you know, could have gone swimming. That could have been a leech, a lamprey, who knows.
Swimming? Skin tag.
I don't know. Look, the polar bear club goes swimming in the dead of winter, so anything from there to here is
like...
I might be Scandinavian, but I'm not a polar bear. No.
Yes, he's very white. What? Oh, sorry. Everybody got any projects they want to talk about? Dead air.
Hello. What you just fixed?
That was Joe that fixed the SD card that I put in backwards. For the first time in my life, I put an SD card in backwards.
First time.
Yeah, first literally. Time.
That is the first time.
Probably the first time you got stuck.
Yeah, it got stuck.
Well, we've all had that issue, but you know that's why the lube was invented.
Fine.
I've been working with another member of ours, Albert. Perhaps the listeners will remember him from previous shows.
Our long-lost member, Albert, out there in the ether.
That's right.
We miss you, man. Come on back.
Been working with him up in Freehold, getting our large CNC router running.
How large is large?
600 centimeters. Wait, 60 centimeters by 40 centimeters. It's enough to make a guitar body.
That's a good size.
It's a good enough size for me.
But, is it working?
Kind of.
Extra couple of centimeters always makes
it doesn't help
happy.
That still the interface to actually control the machine is you remember Chili Pepper?
Yeah.
That JavaScript
that
in
runs
browser
on a browser.
Thing.
Awesome. Ooh. Browser based yeah.
So a couple of years ago, I saw that you could run it locally,
yeah.
And Albert checked up on it,
yeah.
And he just got it working today, so that's good. So we can run
without using a browser.
Well, you're still using the browser,
but
the server is local to you.
Okay, so you're looking through the same machine.
Yeah,
support.
I mean, it's just so dumb to depend on the internet to run your CNC machine.
What's the firmware on it?
Yeah, but the internet never goes down.
Nope, never.
and browsers.
I have the
answer.
I never
crap.
Lose internet, right?
Nope, never.
Chris, the firmware is Tiny G Gerbil.
Gerbil.
I might be able to help you with that interface problem. We do support Gerbil.
Gerbil.
Okay.
Gerbil?
I'd be willing Gerbil. To test
and
it.
And some mild CNC stuff that could be improved.
I'd be Gerbil. Willing to test it.
Alright.
Can you promise it's better than that other Python project?
It's not written in Python.
Yeah.
BCNC. It's not written in Python, and I think we'll have the server client stuff done soon, so you can run it on a remote Pi.
Okay.
So we'll see.
That sounds better. Make it compile for QB Truck, and we'll talk.
You know, there's other computers around here than that piece of junk QB Truck.
You know, I just give you a machine, right?
The QB Truck isn't too junky.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually still,
look, there's
still
a whole stack
good.
Of them.
Do you want? I think I've got better ones in my like crap pile at work. Do you want one?
Is that over parallel or over serial?
It's over USB.
Serial, USB serial.
Yeah,
we all took right. out the Paracal.
Oh, it's
yeah, okay,
it is that
port.
One. All right.
No, it's not that anymore.
Oh,
thank God! Right.
Oh God. I mean, yeah.
Caveman.
All right. Anybody else got
Caveman
projects they're working on? No.
No projects. No. All
right.
No, I'm just.
Oh, just
I'm
don't
just,
mind me. I'm playing with my phone.
I'm doing boring sewing. That's it.
That's not always boring.
Sewing's
not boring. People need clothes. Otherwise, you'd be walking around naked, and that'd be way too interesting.
It'd be really cold in winter too.
Yeah.
Summer would be a little better though.
It's warm enough to get in the sewing room, and so I can do that. Then I also have like. Thousands of rhinestones, and it turns out to not be enough rhinestones, even though it's like 4,000 something rhinestones or something.
Two rhinestones is too many rhinestones.
4,000 isn't enough?
It's not enough.
Do you need like 10,000?
Like five or six.
Wait.
If you
what?
Spread them out over like the course of an entire costume, they go away really quickly, especially if they're tiny.
Yeah, you gotta think how much surface area a rhinestone covers.
Well, it depends
and what
on
the density per square, inch of surface area you want it to be on.
And they all go in millimeters, so like you get like, 0.3 millimeters and
you don't do calculations like that? You don't do calculations like that? How much surface area your garment is gonna take up?
That's impossible. It's impossible because I don't know what I'm gonna do till I do it. It's kind of just a free-form situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about some intricate polygons that, like, you'd have to do some advanced
that's
math.
That's some very nerdy stuff.
I mean,
you could guess me with squares.
I can just sort of guess how many I would use per thing that I'm making. Look at this space and go,
Yeah, the raw material is easy to estimate that you're going to need, but how much is left over?
So
good luck with that.
They're all probably going to be
used. Well, then you just have a bucket of rhinestones. And
oh, no, they'll get used.
Exactly.
It's not like there'll
something
be
wrong with having extra.
What do you think when I buy extra screws? I just have extra screws.
Yeah,
you know?
They're useful.
Or more wire. Always good.
Duh, yeah. Totally good.
Yeah, until it accumulates in that one drunk drawer, until that drawer takes over the house.
Oh,
and then you become a hoarder and you end up on that show.
You don't have a junk room?
Somebody
see
like,
what I mean? Sorry, Fed.
Didn't somebody get crushed by their hoard? I saw that in the post.
Oh, that happens.
Oh,
that
happens
several times.
Many
yeah, it happens
times.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, that's called nature squaring itself away.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty common. Is that a recent story that you heard?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, it's...
We're more in a long line of self-correcting problems.
Oh, God. Well, it is a horrible illness. Anyway.
Being
yeah,
crushed.
So if these people got the help that they needed, maybe they wouldn't be around to keep stacking stuff around them.
Sometimes you don't really know what's going on, you know? And then you have stupid shows, like, orders come on and make the problem worse.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, that show
is
terrible.
Like, that make me feel bad for making fun of people that have real problems and real issues.
Oh,
go,
man.
Go.
Somebody's not letting Joe get away with being a, what do you call it, a strict Darwinist.
I can't.
A strict Darwinist. A staunch Darwinist.
I've known hoarders, and I feel really bad for them because they can't help
and
themselves.
Sometimes
it's only Darwinistic if they're expired before they procreate. Most of these people have already done so, so I don't see how that necessarily applies. Sorry.
Often
Brian?
The hoarding aspect is the least of people's problems.
Yeah, the
that's just the...
Okay, so then what kills the rest of them?
No, I mean, that's just more visible problem what people are experiencing.
Oh, yes. Usually it's a manifestation of some sort of psychological issue.
Yeah, usually there's
usually
a nest of things going on.
Trauma, there's other things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible, and these people, like, should be respected, but that's not exactly what I'm here for.
I'm here to mock.
Our host has to be the villain of the show. Great.
Somebody has to play the heel.
I am the devil's advocate.
I told him he should be Rob Van Dam. Anyway, he knows what I'm talking about.
I am the whole show, but I can't be the whole show because then we'd be evil.
He's the whole effing show. Yeah, that's right. What else do we have?
We're at that Tesla crushing facility, just crushing them away into cubes. I could just do this all day long.
What is the latest on Elon? Because I know he's been in the news a lot lately.
He wishes him and his wife wish to expire on another planet.
Wait,
what?
She's going to go too?
She said, I've recently read that she stated she wants to die on Mars. And I couldn't, frankly, be happier.
Wow, he's like his own little mini-cult of himself. Like he's...
Really? You sure?
I'm pretty sure there's not too many other people who are going to put on the Nikes and fly out with him.
Oh, no. Oh, they're all going
to
put on their little bubble suit.
I do enjoy
suit.
The Hellbop reference.
Their bubble outfits.
I'd say Heaven's Gate were better people. Far are better people.
Right. Are they going to have a space convertible?
he legit has a space convertible he can tout to his followers and go, look, it even has its own Twitter. Come on.
And I talk to the evil green orb every night.
You know, that's going to be the next thing. He's going to come out as an advocate for Scientology. And then I will be right, and everyone will follow Michael.
No, he wouldn't
no,
be able to stand
know.
Something to be
I think
above
he's
him.
He's bigger than Scientology.
He'd have to take it over.
He has
but
more
is
money
than
Scientology,
Jesus?
And he has than Scientology,
what,
and he
America?
Has more followers.
I would say yes.
Yeah, but not the Beatles?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like, people are putting, like, real money behind this guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
he's the second richest man in America. I mean, that's impressive.
I mean, the church isn't the second richest church in America.
No, they
nope,
only
no.
have, like, not even 50,000 members.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, it's been going down, so, yeah.
Scientology?
Yeah, Scientology.
It's been going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, it's a big time. Especially since
yay!
The... Thanks, Internet!
Yeah.
It did something good.
Yeah, and you know, the documentary series Going Clear, which I think is now up on Netflix by Leah Remini, you know, the actress who quit.
Oh, yeah, she's
wow,
done a
the
lot.
Power of television!
Mm-hmm.
Nice!
I'll say, thank you, Project Chanology.
Yeah.
Yep, and the world heard you smack that microphone.
My bad.
I'm sure it was pretty loud.
Don't tap the table.
Oh, if you were asleep, you're awake now. And you're listening to the Thingularity Radio program on WGXE.
Smacking the microphone is not tapping the table.
Well,
in his defense,
this is true.
Come on.
Yes? Oh, man.
Oh, man. Brian's over there doing neck rolls because this is apparently not enough to keep him focused.
It's not. I didn't have any caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Go start up CoffeeBot, which we recently donned with
Professor
a Java logo. Oh.
Microsoft is buying Discord.
Everything's getting bought still.
Yeah, Microsoft. Okay, now, remember, everybody
business
likes Microsoft
usual,
because they're playing so nice after buying GitHub and now Discord. And then when they own everything more than Apple and Google combined and they're back on top, where will we be then?
GitHub,
oh, wait, back where we were.
Using Microsoft products, right, just like from the beginning.
I mean, to be fair, they haven't changed GitHub really at all.
Yeah,
I know. No, like I said, they're playing nice.
Yeah, they're buying the brand and GitHub. What is
they're not going to play
a little
nice with
repository
Discord,
you can roll out by yourself with one little command.
But it's not
on your
little
own servers.
And they're it's straight up behind it. It's a straight up web server for a lot of people. Just hosts the pages directly from the GitHub.
Yeah, it's the community they're
it
buying.
It is a powerful tool.
Yeah,
I'm more upset about the DirectX stuff in the WSL on Windows 10.
Please elaborate.
You would say what's happened?
Hold on, hang on. But I like Windows Subsystem for Linux. What's wrong with it? It makes it easier for me to do development on Windows.
Look, I can run Linux programs.
Yeah, but you can't do X Windows or anything like that. Like it's
no,
just
you
totally
can run Direct. They implemented DirectX 12 on top of it, but didn't implement it in Mesa directly. So. Only their implementation gets the benefit. We call that extend.
And
extend,
then,
embrace,
and then we extinguish it.
No, extend is in the middle.
Extinguish
is at
eventually
the end.
That's coming to there. I'll give you a nice big hug.
So everybody should keep that in mind if you're on Discord.
So we're
going to
see
the next inevitable acquisition by Microsoft.
And the talks that they're in are exclusive acquisition talks.
Yeah.
Which means the offer that they gave, which is $10
billion. $10 billion is a lot of dollars.
They have to be out of their fucking mind.
$10 billion?
Yeah,
out
of their minds to refuse that offer.
Remember when
$10 billion
was a joke?
Can't refuse. They're godfathering it.
Because it was too high?
Pretty much.
Now it's a standard offer.
If you think about the amount of data that goes over Discord, and probably the amount of data they collect on other people's systems, like they collect all the processes that are running, all that good stuff.
Okay.
It's like sucking a Slurpee of pure sugar for Microsoft.
But what could you do with all that data? Isn't it anonymized?
Oh, Lord.
Just like Google does.
And Apple. Oh, yeah. By the way, turns out Google devices are reporting 20 times as much data as Apple devices on their users.
I wish I could say I was shocked.
Yeah.
It's all advertising, so yeah.
Everyone's carrying a nice little spy in their pocket, and that spy is working for many different actors, the government, Apple, Google, Mother Russia.
You know,
anybody wants to buy that data.
You're all so
that's right, you're
negative about this. How much time do we have to the mid-hour?
Approximately 12 minutes.
All right,
there you go.
12 minutes.
I want to bring up an article here. Because I got something for us.
What, Saron is watching you?
No.
I close my eyes, I just see a flaming eye.
I see.
Pretty much.
So, there's been a proposal. It's been spearheaded by the Facebook CEO, Zuck, and Amazon billionaire, Jeff Bezos. And it's taken the world by surprise. I'm reading this article, just copied off of Telegraph. In a stunning move toward increasing transparency in the big data industry, Facebook and Amazon have pledged to immortalize half of their immense quantities of user data each by committing these data sets to a non-fungible token in the Dogecoin blockchain.
What?
Yep. No joke.
April Fool's joke.
Nope, no joke.
No, we wouldn't do that to anybody.
Definitely not. I wouldn't joke about this. And other data leaders such as Google's Alphabet Corporation, Equifax, and all Five Eyes nations are expected to make similar offerings by the end of business next Thursday.
Yes, because nobody should ever consider a non-fungible token and a joke.
That's right. And then everything happens next Thursday.
If you give me a bunch of money, I'll give you a random string of characters.
That only you can have.
Yeah, only you can have them. How many you want?
In a statement released to the public today, Bezos stated, "We live in a world where consumers are increasingly dissatisfied with the state of their privacy and the quantity of data being collected on each individual. We hope to reduce the perceived disparity in this power relation by letting all the consumers know exactly what we have on them, by allowing them and anyone else to buy and have access to their data."
That's wonderful. Now that is a businessman.
Now getting to Chris's point, each isolated data set we have gathered from the metadata on your phones, computers, and Alexas will be de-anonymized and recombined at our Utah data centers to provide you with a truly individualized profile on just how much the algorithms know about you without even needing to know your name.
All right, that means I can purchase, information on my prospective bosses, employees, romantic partners, etc.
It's on an NFT, buddy.
Oh, that's excellent. So everyone becomes like a publicized profile.
So you're a product twice now?
Oh, wow.
Well,
that's
by now it's like three times.
Wow. That's great.
So I could buy you and your serialized token, and I would own you. That's great. Now can I make you do things with that? I mean, other than through other means than blackmail.
No, because anything I do from there, you'd have to buy more tokens for.
Yeah, guys.
Please enter more tokens to continue. Yes.
It's like a really bad game.
This is really bad. So they announced this morning, April 1st. On April 1st, Dogecoin spiked from 50 cents to 68 cents. Price is going up.
So that means each individual person's worth what? Almost a dollar.
Who knows what it's going to be tomorrow?
That
when you can just get an NFT.
The greatest joke of all is that you can just shift information and make fake money more expensive and then jump out after you've made your profit.
Have you seen what they do to Bitcoin?
On rumors of rumors, you can make a profit.
If you believe anything I said right there, you deserve whatever you get.
You could have actually picked a less valuable cryptocurrency.
Yeah, but can't you just,
I'm not sure what would be less valuable.
I'm sure, if I
bank
over real money, I can get all that information anyway.
Yes.
I mean, AT&T sells, their user data all the time.
Yeah.
Where you're going. Well,
that's the whole point of this story.
You don't have to pay for most of it if you make the right phone calls.
No, you do. It's a standard thing. You pay for
standard
it. You're a cop. The cops don't have to, they don't have to have legal access.
Yeah, they
pay
for it.
They just buy it.
Yeah.
So then you don't.
Yeah.
You want to stock.
No need for a warrant when you can just buy it.
Exactly.
That's different.
And also,
it's not the same thing, you know.
Because you are volunteering every bit of data that goes into your phone that is collected by
AT&T.
Right.
Your phone, anything you use, any services.
Your computer,
you use.
Every time you go online and you do something using the internet, you're basically giving up data that's being mined for money, and, you know, a little chunk of your soul is.
At what point do you actually start seeing, actual damage from this?
We already are.
Are you kidding?
Actionable damage.
Oh.
In which a person or a class of people can say, that caused this damage to me.
Well,
actionable in what court?
Actionable in court.
I mean, I think...
In what court?
I don't know. It's getting pretty close because, there's a fair number of cases where somebody's actually stalking somebody. They're buying that AT&T data, and AT&T is selling it, and then these people are just following. So, I mean, it's getting pretty close to where it is becoming very actionable in a court of law because
if someone gets
somebody's violating this restraining order, and the only reason why they know where they are is because the phone's spying on them and AT&T's happily serving up this information to other people.
Now, that's if you're talking about private sector having access to it. I know that certain places like the FBI, there is now legal precedent in place that basically says if they violate your privacy, which is what this comes down to, and they violate your Fourth Amendment or Fifth Amendment, or, well, not really Fifth Amendment in this case, but any of your rights like that, they can only really be sued for, losses, which are almost nothing ever proven in that case. So there is no punishment for that violation of an individual.
Well, I mean, that's an organ of the state, so the state can only agree to be sued if it wants to be sued.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, this isn't
that level. This is like actually in a court. The judge, the court has laid down that there, that's codified. Well, not codified, but legal precedent now.
Okay.
Like okay, you can't like you can sue them, but you can't sue them for anything.
I don't know if somebody does actually.
What do you call
like
actual
when we
damages?
Talk about stalking, if somebody gets killed, say,
yeah.
At that point, there will be a real test in court for that.
I would say so.
Yeah, but at that point, stingrays will be cheap enough where you won't need the phone company to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you'll just be able to set up your own, like, you know, box.
Here's my cell phone tower.
Mm.
Now, because I'm close to where your phone is, I get all your communique.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know,
and if I can connect mine to a real cell tower as a base station, then your information is routed without your knowledge. It'll just go right through like it was normal.
Yeah, and then we play the man in the middle card.
Yay. And we get to see everything. In and out.
Maybe they should just, Shenzhen should just sell stingrays to everybody.
They do, I think.
Cheaper.
That's the problem. Police stations are able to get their hands on them because they can afford them, and then they're finding out that it's not legal for them to do so.
Yeah.
Because
which means in like 2 years, police auctions are going to be really interesting.
Ooh. We could go get us some low-end stingrays.
I don't know if they escape out the wild that easily, though.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I could get one.
I'm pretty sure they're made with off-the-shelf equipment anyway.
Yeah, it's built by Thompson Harris.
Thompson Harris?
Yeah, it's a big global broadcast manufacturing company.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Harris Thompson, Grass Valley, same company. They've been building stingrays forever.
Get closer to the microphone, Brian. I think you're a little low.
I'm only about 4 feet away. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But no, they don't. Yeah, I mean, it's just off-the-shelf technology, right? All that stuff. Just doing it yourself, you get in trouble if somebody caught you, unless you're the police and you only get semi.
Yeah, but who's gonna catch you? You're mostly acting in a passive role, unless you're like
just sniffing, listening.
Just sniffing.
I mean, Wireshark. Well, then you kind of deserve it if you're not encrypting your stuff anyway.
Yeah, but if you're in the middle, you can strip all the encryption.
Yeah, but if you're the man in the middle, like, you've got to get the client to accept you as a legit certificate authority.
Okay, but how do you not do that on your phone?
Yeah, that's the phones don't have.
How do you not do that on your phone? You don't get to audit any of that.
Well,
right.
That would
you just do what the base station tells you.
That would be under the cell phone, cell tower protocol.
This is why I mean open baseband radio firmware.
I mean, SMS is all like open, like they'll just rip that apart. You know, so
yeah.
If you're texting with your wife, like they know what you're texting with.
Yeah.
That's why I find it funny that some encryption protocols work over SMS because, well, what you're sending is just, sure, you're sending secrets, but at some point you're sending the password as plain text too. So
not to mention your metadata is widely exposed.
All the data.
What you're doing, who you're talking to, when you're talking to them, and where you are when you're talking to them is already evident to anybody looking.
Hmm.
And that's the information that most people buy. They don't even need to buy the text messages.
Nope.
I just want to know who they were texting, when.
Yeah, the metadata.
Cool. Now, off to the gun store.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, you catch. Well, okay, my wife's been texting my best friend.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Real easy. By the way, like, if you know that you're being tracked, like, if you know somebody's looking through your phone, say your husband or something like that, and you want to get back at them, just go, say, take your phone and leave it next to their best friend's house for a couple of days. Just in the bushes in a Ziploc bag so it's safe from the weather. Who knows? Maybe that metadata might say something to someone. And you guys are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill Radio for Open Ears. And I think we're going to take a break and we're going to let you guys listen to our monthly song, which is The government.
Weird Al?
Not Weird Al this time. It is The Government Knows by Noah.
So we need it.
The government knows when you masturbate. The government knows when you masturbate. The government knows when you feel alone and it's getting late and you're sitting at home looking straight through your webcam, looking at you as Uncle Sam. Look him in the eyes with your balls in your hand and stick it to the f***ing bed. Stare at the screen when you unpack. The government is staring back. This is how they know you best, with a dick in your right and a mouse in your left. No more interest in the Middle East, so they look at you while you touch your meat. In the middle of a truce, they put the equipment to the use. Why you think you pay the tax for drones and spies, computer hacks? Tax has gone through the roof. At least it's put to good use. The government knows. The government knows. The government knows when you masturbate. The government knows when you're whacking it. The government knows when you feel alone and it's getting late and you're sitting at home. They fill the sky full of drones to check on you and your boat. Size don't matter to the CIA. They can see your dick from outer space.
Is that always the question? And we are back now on the Thingularity radio program. Is it on? What are you doing?
You hear that?
No.
Is there a light?
Nope, no lights.
Oh, the light's broken.
Why did you touch it?
I don't know. We broke it.
Because it's a button, I have to touch
don't
it.
Don't touch that. No.
Next time.
Reminds me of an
Advent
rant.
Don't ever touch it.
Which one is it? Which cable?
You can't touch it, like, you can't undo it. You will screw everything up if you even think about it.
Oh, well, fine. I guess we're operating on one.
Why? Well, we're back, and you guys can hear most of us anyway.
Oof.
Ow. Oh, there it is.
I don't know because we know how to hit buttons here. If we know anything at the Thingularity radio program.
It's like, nah, a couple more times, and it'll turn back on.
Yeah, just hit it a few more times.
Press it repeatedly.
Probably for the same reason he has to come over and start my 3D printer every once in a while.
Just mash at the button if it's not working.
Someone's got that magic touch, and that's what's all is needed. You show up, you press the buttons, you smile, you get your money, and you walk away.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, Cody, look at these weird cubes I'm printing. He comes and prints one. They're perfect. Like, what'd you do? I hit start. I'm like, all right.
Oh, my God.
Okay, hope everybody enjoyed that song. That was, we're deviating from the Weird Al on the show a little bit because apparently people want to expand our repertoire.
I didn't make that choice. He's usually a little upset.
Joe,
you know, everyone can blame me for the constant Weird Al, or you can thank me for the constant Weird Al, whichever way you want.
Constant Weird Al is fine. You're just going to run out of songs eventually.
I'm okay with giving... or having Weird Al receive royalties.
We will not run out because if Weird Al somehow dies, we will reanimate his body.
He only gets royalties when we do it during a certain time of the year.
What?
Yes. Oh, really?
Yes.
What time of the year is that?
That's how most radio
music
works.
Music reporting time. And
is it Christmas time? He's like, yes.
About quarterly.
During a certain period.
Yeah, so like every few months you have to report what you play, and that's only for music shows. I don't think we have to do that.
Oh.
But that's something we haven't been asked to so far.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They don't have bots that just listen to every channel and sort of average
no,
it.
No, because these rules go back for years.
Right, we don't want to talk about
only the
that.
Old people run the radio station,
no,
so they don't understand that you could do that.
You have to go on the bots yourself and look at all.
You're telling me, like, the RIAA does this, I'm assuming?
We have to report.
That's how it's set up.
It was a music show.
Which is why we're able to get anything we want as long as the FCC is fine with it and play it.
So any band you want to make money, you play them.
So they're willing to spend a whole bunch of money to sue little kids for downloading, like, songs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they're not willing to do their due diligence to collect royalties for songs they're actually owed money on?
They make volunteers do that.
Yeah, they make other people do that for them.
Wow.
I don't know.
What's more amazing that volunteers exist who do that.
Yeah, but, like, it's so weird because, like, YouTube solved this problem, like, years ago.
But they're
with AI.
You
could probably destroy entire industries and get rid of about 100 million jobs worldwide with,
Shazam?
82 lines of code.
Shazam? Oh, no, that's way too hard. No, I can't do that. No.
Do they have an open API?
There you go.
Hey, let's go make some money.
Or just have a fun, drunken Friday night.
Nothing to see here.
Okay. And that dead air is a good indication we should kick on over to Corey. You got some Mr. Force buttons. Okay.
Yeah.
Fill up some time. Hey, I'm not bashful or alive.
April 1st, born this day in 1932, Norman Abramson, the American computer scientist who created AlohaNet, the first modern data network. And in 1962...
Whoa, wait, we got some confused looks in this room.
Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah.
AlohaNet.
I'm sorry, dear listeners. We will do some homework and come back to this one. Please continue.
I probably had some more info and I should have uncut.
Oh, we'll dig it up.
Okay, 1960, Tyros 1, the first weather observation satellite, was launched from Cape Kennedy and took the first TV picture from space. April 2nd, 1935, Sir Robert Watson Watt was granted the patent for radar. Radio detection and ranging. You know, we keep the first R and A. April 3rd, 1966, the first spacecraft to orbit the moon, the USSR's Luna 10, completed its orbit in 3 hours. Instruments aboard include a gamma ray spectrometer and meteorite detector.
That's when the Russians were really kicking our butt in the space race.
April 5th, born this day in 1894, Lawrence Dale Bell, American aircraft designer, manufacturer, and founder of Bell Aircraft Company. 1963, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission awarded J. Robert Oppenheimer the Fermi Award for his research in nuclear energy, nearly 9 years after his security clearance was revoked due to his opposition to development of the hydrogen bomb.
Oh, yeah, we're the only people on that project with a conscience.
Well, he had become deaf, so... April 6, 1930, Continental Baking Company plant manager James A. Dewar created Twinkies as an inexpensive food product in response to the Great Depression.
And those exact Twinkies are still around today.
You mean the original?
That's believable.
Yeah.
That's why the original baked
Twinkies are still around today from that era? I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, the original filling was banana cream until rationing in World War II.
Well, maybe they aren't around then, if it's actually banana cream.
That sounds better.
Right?
As opposed to vanilla? Yeah, what happened?
That's a joke. Later on, I'll do something that's not a joke, and we can compare the two.
1938, research in new types of refrigerant gases. DuPont researcher Roy J. Plunkett and technician Jack Reebok accidentally discovered a chemical compound, polytetrafluoroethylene, PTFE, later marketed as Teflon. April 7th.
Is that the stuff that they're cleaning out of everybody's water supply right now? I don't know, that's PFA.
That's perfluoroalkyl.
Okay.
Something else.
April 7th, born this day in 1860. W.K. Kellogg, William Keith Kellogg, American industrialist and philanthropist and all-around weirdo, who in 1906 founded the W.K. Kellogg Company to produce cereal products.
Yeah. Now that was a man that got you intimate with yogurt.
Amongst other things. There's a whole movie called The Road to Wellville.
Great I love that movie.
Okay, either you love it or you hate it. Okay, I'm going to make you watch it.
It's a good movie.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I see Anthony Hopkins do weird stuff.
Wait, that's not everything?
That's what it is. Well, back when he caught you, yeah.
Okay.
April 8th, 1953, Man in the Dark, the first major release 3D motion picture, opened in New York City. 2 days later, the first color 3D film, the Vincent Price version of House of Wax, was released.
Ooh. Nice. That's super cool, unlike 3D movies, which is super lame and is some sort of stupid fad that keeps coming back every 30 years. I mean, why?
There's some good ones.
No, James Cameron is not always right.
Wow. Yes. Freddy's dead. All you needed was that one bit, you put on the 3D glasses, and you're there in Freddy Land.
What? He did Terminator.
Well, yeah,
we're
talking about it in 3D, though.
That's why I said always. I qualified.
All right, well,
sometimes.
I mean, it was Titanic.
The man literally did that movie just so he could go search the wreckage of Titanic personally.
Yeah, it's at least a good 10
years.
Worse
movie? Come on, there are worse movies.
Oh.
Any movie you want to say that's good in 3D, I'm going to counter with Phantom Menace in 3D.
Oh, well, it's Phantom Menace.
Well, yeah,
but it's not to mention Avatar.
Was really bad.
Like, the geek, like, pressure point.
I've never seen it, don't care.
Yeah, I've never watched it either.
It's not bad.
Sigourney Weaver's good for about 5 minutes.
It was, you know, okay for first view, and then after that,
Aliens, where, like, you can just keep watching that.
It's like, I don't need four sequels. Look, I'm hoping they're even half as good as Terminator 2, but I don't need four sequels.
No, that was a weird win on the roulette wheel for that man, okay? And then he tried to do it again. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, did you see all the Terminators after Terminator 2?
I mean,
yeah.
Waterworld, right?
He did Waterworld?
No.
Who
did Waterworld?
Well, that was, I mean, Kevin Reynolds.
Satan.
The guy with the gills.
Don't give him credit for that.
Waterworld had been kicking around a long time. It ended up being directed by Kevin Reynolds, who did Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, you know, because Costner.
Oh, Costner.
So. Oh, well, then how do you do that so okay, and then that so...
Alan Rickman.
Okay.
That's all it is, and he... I've heard that he...
That's it.
He only agreed to sign on if he could rewrite his dialogue.
He's so good.
Wow. Good for him.
Okay.
All right, we got more.
April 9th, 1959. Right. NASA announced the first 7 astronauts for Project Mercury. Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, Gus Grissom, Wally Shearer, Alan Shepard, and Donald Slayton. April 12th, born today in 1924, Peter Safar, Austrian American physician who pioneered the kiss of life procedure of mouth to mouth resuscitation.
Which is not quite as important as chest compressions, right, we've come to find out.
Yeah.
But still important. I mean, that helped get us there.
It helps. 1888, Albert Nobel, inventor of dynamite, was called a merchant of death in a French newspaper obituary that was supposed to be for his brother Ludwig. Seeking to change public opinion, he would go on to establish the Nobel Prizes.
Huh. Well, that was really useful.
Yeah, a lot of guys would just go, good, at least I'm
haters gonna hate.
Right, he's got the money, he didn't have to care.
1968, an outbreak of sheep deaths in Skull Valley, Utah was traced to a nerve gas sprayed earlier at the nearby Dugway Proving Grounds by the Army. And if the wind had been a little different that day, I think it would have hit like a nearby town. I remember Stephen King talking about that.
What year was that?
No, it's not Maine.
1968.
What? Oh, I've never heard of that one.
Oh, 1994, lawyer Lawrence Cantor created a program to unleash the first spam on unsuspecting Usenet message board users who were drowned for solicitation for him and his wife's law firm.
Was he summarily executed? Dragged out into the street and publicly hung?
To think that's the thing you're known for.
Yeah.
You know, I do remember, like, sometime in the last 10 years, there was a Russian spammer that was found dead in his apartment. Like, he was murdered, and it wasn't, like, gentle.
Maybe Putin did something good. Didn't he also have, like, several server racks of just, like, spam machines?
Oh, he was a major spammer. He caused a lot of spam. And the world was done a great service that day, regardless of who or what.
That's kind of what I was getting.
Wow. You think I'm playing?
Yeah, I imagine not a joke. Walking out. Hey, I'm not all that bad.
Hey, you know, go KGB.
That was my pet the cat moment. Okay. Oh, yeah. April 14th, born this day in 1629, Christian Huygens. Huygens, yeah, perfect mispronouncing it. Dutch physicist and astronomer who discovered the true shape of Saturn's rings and founded the wave theory of light.
Oh, wow.
1894, the first kinetoscope parlor opened in New York with five machines. For 25 cents, viewers, customers could view a short film through a peephole.
Ooh, so that's a kinetoscope.
That was expensive. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
back
for
then.
That time.
How much was it?
25 cents.
Wow, that's like a week's pay.
At least a day's pay.
Yeah.
1912, a distress call from the sinking Titanic was picked up by young telegraph operator David Sarnoff, who stayed at his post for 3 days to relay developments to families of passengers and the press. He would go on to found NBC in 1926.
Wow.
And also had RCA. So.
Yeah, he bought off Victor and RCA. Yeah.
Seeing Jill's gestures. So. Yeah. But still, he did that at least good thing.
He did his job.
You either die young and good or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. 1956, Ampex Corporation demonstrated the first commercial black and white video recorder at conventions in Chicago or in Redwood City.
Why can't Elon Musk just die and be a hero that way?
Sorry. The size of a deep freeze, a single 14-inch reel could hold a 65-minute recording. April 15th, Borges.
Giant.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a 65-minute recording. That's
a
lot.
A whole show on it.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody was. There were no programs longer than an hour, anyways. You know, you just has a button anthology. It's not like they were doing movies yet. I mean, you did have productions, but I don't think anything went past an hour.
Can you imagine what kind of equipment Nixon had in his office? How did nobody know somebody was recording?
It was wired in another room.
It was a whole other room.
Or just ignore that body.
How did he not know?
He did the recording.
Okay.
Why is that daffodil moving?
We're just going to pretend that this is a lazy Susan and not a giant cake. We'll serve liquor and drinks on it until they forget that it's recording them.
It's the 60s. You put an ashtray on it. Look.
Yes.
April 15th, born this day in 1452, Leonardo da Vinci, Italian painter, draftsman, sculptor, architect, and engineer. You could say he was a Renaissance man.
Dude, Da Vinci.
Like golf clap.
Da Vinci. Young.
Yes.
And inspired some turtles. 1877, a steam engine driven helicopter model built by Enrico Forlanini's steam engine helicopter model managed to rise 40 feet for 20 seconds.
And then crashed to the ground and explodes.
And then tipped sideways and flew him right into an orphanage.
baby steps.
It still worked.
April 6th. April 16th, born this day in 1921, Marie Maynard Daly, American biochemist and first African American woman to receive a PhD in chemistry. 1943, Albert Hofmann accidentally absorbed his failed respiratory drug lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD, through his skin while handling the container, leading him to discover its hallucinogenic effect. 3 days later, he took 250 micrograms to deliberately replicate the experience.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Hell of a bike ride home.
The bike ride, exactly. Yeah.
1947, NBC demonstrated the Zumar lens, the first zoom lens for a TV camera, created by Dr. Frank Gerard Back. April 17th, 1970, 4 days after aborting his mission due to a burst liquid oxygen tank, Apollo 13 safely made splashdown in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, they saved Tom Hanks.
Woohoo. He gets in a lot of crashes.
Not as many as Matt Damon, though.
Or stranded, yeah.
Ball water.
April 20th, 1902.
Wow. It's not too soon, but you know.
Marie and Pierre Curie isolated 1 gram of pure radium chloride, the first sample of the radioactive element.
Woohoo, the Curies! They helped us out through the war effort. Good people.
April 22nd, born this day in 1904, the aforementioned J. Robert Oppenheimer, American theoretical physicist and science administrator, director of Los Alamos Laboratory during the development of the atomic bomb.
Oppenheimer makes a second appearance.
Mm-hmm. 1915, German troops released chlorine gas on the front lines of Ypres, Belgium during World War I, marking the first use of modern chemical warfare. Yes. Yep, not all
good. Guess.
April 25th, 1859, ground was broken by French engineer Ferdinand Vicomte de Lesseps for the building of the Suez Canal. You might have heard about it a long
I heard they didn't do too well on the first try.
1792, highwayman Nicolas Jacques Pelletier was the first person executed with the guillotine, operated by executioner Charles Henry Sanson in Paris.
That's how you get your name in the history.
Wait, isn't the executioner supposed to remain anonymous, though?
Not if you're the first one that's like, oh, Chris, I'll try it. What do I do? Hit this button?
It's, yeah, right. It's autocratic. Oops. France. Ah. Yeah.
A contemporary paper said that the disappointed crowd dispersed quickly, not liking it quite as much as a gallows.
Oh. Yeah. It's bad when it goes
maybe
wrong.
If it was a monster truck instead.
You just, you have a monster truck drawn in quarter.
Well, not close to that.
And we had President Camacho Mountain Dew.
April 26th.
Come out with a machine gun.
Oh, yeah.
It's Idiocracy.
April 26th, born this day in 1900. Charles Richter, American seismologist who, with colleague Bino Gutenberg, Gutenberg devised the Richter scale to measure earthquake magnitudes. And 1986, a reactor at the Chernobyl nuclear plant in Pripyat, Russia, exploded, sending a cloud of radioactive dust over Europe. April 27th, born this day in 1791, Samuel F.B. Morse, American artist and inventor who developed the Morse code. And finally, April 28th, 1932, at a meeting of the American Societies for Experimental Biology in Philadelphia, the creation of a vaccine for yellow fever was announced. Oh. And that's been science history for this month.
Have you guys seen
Thank you, Corey.
The thing that they built over Chernobyl? It's like the biggest
sarcophagus.
Yeah. It's like an anti-biodome.
Yeah. So and it works. Let's put Pauly Shore and the Lesser Baldwins in there.
Yes. Now there's a movie, and don't let him out.
Yeah.
And Adam's like, I'm not even related to him.
Is that true? Robots don't even survive.
Yeah,
in
he's
that.
Actually not one of those Baldwins.
Oh, good for him.
They can't even send robots into that structure.
they just
Why not? One on Venus, you could put one in Chernobyl, and it's both Russians.
They don't last long on Venus either.
Yeah.
So, no. How long's it gotta last in Chernobyl? People walk around Chernobyl in suits. How can they not take robots?
Can't send robots into the structure of the sarcophagus. Because the corium is just too radioactive.
That's great.
It fritzes their electronics.
That does sound like fun.
Oh my gosh. You could go there now. Most of the background radiation is gone. There's like a few hot spots which might, you know, give you a couple flipper babies, but
there are some people that go
if you're not planning on having kids.
Yeah, I got one of these exploration videos.
I mean, Russia is very proud of their town called Asbest, which is what you think it is. You're like, no, the asbestos is not doing anything to us. We're perfectly healthy.
But as they continue to produce asbestos
and die from it, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it is Russia. I mean, we've all seen the mesothelioma commercials. Come on.
Yeah,
they don't have those lawyers over there.
Remember when a McDonald's opened in Russia? You know, that was about early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the line was about 5 miles long. It was insane.
You know, just like it's going to be happening here when all the marijuana shops open up. 5 mile long lines.
We're getting a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Well, that might.
Yeah, near Beer World.
All right, so legalize marijuana and a Taco Bell.
And a Taco Bell.
Well, like, we got a trifecta, right?
That's
so,
why
like, we... you can just get high, go to Taco Bell, get some beer, go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One stop shopping.
And now that Uber's available, you don't have to drive at all.
And if the Taco Bell tremors are too much, you go to the new Emergent Care.
So it's a self sustaining cycle.
You don't need to go to Emergent Care. Taco Bell just gives you standard diarrhea.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you clog your toilet, then the plumber makes some money too.
Wait, can't you buy like wine or something at Taco Bell now too?
What?
That's the thing. At some Taco Bells,
really?
Yeah, they're
they got liquor license.
Yeah,
they
that was going to be this
it
one.
Depends on where you live, probably.
They have their own wine at Taco Bell? Like, who's that brave?
People who really, really want wine and tacos.
Because look, when you show up at Taco Bell, you're usually already drunk, so maybe you just want to keep the buzz going. And at that point, you're tipsy enough to actually go for it. Like, yeah, give me that fire hot wine or something like that.
I like how Joe comes up with the way it's probably possible to drink at Taco Bell. And it makes sense.
Oh, I'll find a way to get liquor in you, sure.
Oh, this is a fine green chalet from 2010, I believe.
I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing. And, yeah. That's definitely going to mess some people's day up. I don't see how that's going to be self-sustainable. Okay, and you know what? Maybe we're going to finish out the show with a lightning round quiz. Who's up for it?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, we're going to go passing the Duchy on the left-hand side to Ben.
Okay.
How long can a cockroach live without its head? 9 years, 9 days, or 9 hours?
I'm going to go with 9 days.
That is correct. Oh, yeah, I'm going to assault you guys with that bell.
That is if we get it correct.
That's if you get it correct. So, you know.
It's a nice sensor in there.
Aim at the audience. Cody. Tiny.
Yes.
Earliest cockroach was found to be 40 million, 125 million, or 2 years older. Than Keith Richards.
You said the oldest cockroach?
The earliest cockroach, fine. 40 million or 140 million years.
I'm tempted to say 2 years just because, but I'm going to say 140 million.
Yeah, they've been around. You're right.
Wow.
All right, Chris. In an incandescent bulb, the tungsten reaches what temperature? 4,500 degrees Fahrenheit, 600 degrees Fahrenheit, or 600 Kelvins?
The first one?
4,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
That's the temperature that the old incandescent bulbs reach. That's why they had to be in a vacuum.
Yes, yeah, said vacuum.
Wow.
They would oxidize instantly.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Brian, here's a fun one for you. 7-Up contained what until 1950?
Oh, boy.
Suspended quartz crystals, lithium citrate, or bath salts?
lithium citrate? I don't know what that is.
That's what's used to treat bipolar disorder.
Okay, that.
you gotta remember.
Y'all seven up.
You gotta get the up in there somehow.
It lifted your mood. You thought Coke was fun? Well, this was butter.
You gotta remember, these sodas actually had medicinal.
Yeah, the early ones were
quote
medicines.
Unquote medicinal. You got them from a druggist.
Yeah.
Get your cola from a druggist.
Right, we're gonna try to get these last two in real quick because we got a minute left.
Do it.
Okay, Cody, not Cody, but Corey. Sorry, you're both C's. World's smallest fidget spinner. Oh, this is terrible. Is how small? A inch wide, 100 microns wide, or 100 atoms wide?
I'm gonna go with microns wide.
Wow.
100 microns wide is the smallest fidget spinner. Some molecules. And Professor Ron Mothersbaugh. Lungs do what besides respirate air? They secrete intestinal fluid, they produce blood, or they incubate the eggs of various insects.
The blood thing.